Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. I seek refuge, that is protection with Allah, the God from Satan, the rejected enemy. With the name of God, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. My name is Michael Sahir. I'm your host of Words Made People. We thank you for tuning in. And we'll be right back after our opening theme song. So in the meanwhile, call a friend, tell them to tune in. We're going to talk about the Muslim journals, A Time to Be Grateful, with their team of planners. So call a friend. We'll be right back after our opening theme song.
People, every day, trying to do things their own way. But everything you see, touch, smell, those are things that tell you words to think twice before you step on your advice. Make sure your words hold true, cause people hold you to your words. They make people, and people, they make the world go round. Words make people. Check out the words that make your world. If your words are jive, then jive you are. Cause those type of words, they don't go far. Think and start, work and buy. From ideas deep in your mind, it's words that make people. And people that make the world go round. Words make people. Check out the words that make your mind.
Setting me free with words.
We're back for another session. I almost said segment, but that doesn't sound right. Another production of Words Made People. We're going to have a team of our next people, Generation Next Now. You know, a lot of times they say next, they want you to wait. But this generation, they're next, and their turn is now. And we're going to have them come on in a minute. However, following our format, we always read from the Quran first. That's our shortest title, Words Make People. And the best words for making people are the words of revelation. As a matter of fact, it's the words of revelation that make other words that we speak. Allah reveals to the human family through nature. Allah reveals to the human family through our instincts, our intuitive urge. And the highest form to which Allah reveals to mankind is through the revelation, Anzal, the revelation. It comes down like rain. It comes down like rain and purifies us and cleanses us. So this show will be entitled Words Made People, following the leadership of our leader Imam Wallace D. Muhammad, W. D. Muhammad, Sansei Wallace D. Muhammad. Now he gave us this phrase, so my goodness, it's getting close to 50 years when he gave us this phrase, Words Make People. And so we follow our tradition, giving praise and thanks to Allah for this marvelous collection of words called El Quran, the reading. We're going to read today from chapter 22, verse 40. And I chose this verse in particular because before I bring on my guest, Imam Bilal Hassan, Imam Mujahideen Muhammad and Sister Marcia Nivens, and those can be our guests today. They are working hard, and we thank a lot for them on planning for the 19th. Muslim Journals, a time to be grateful. But before that, I want to share a few thoughts on what's going on in the world, in the Gaza-Israel situation. And I thought this verse here from the Quran would be applicable for the commentary of 5 minutes, inshallah, I wanted to share. But first we read from the Quran, again, chapter 22, verse 40. This is Surah El-Hajj, the surah called the Pilgrimage, chapter 22, verse 40. Now, we know, dear Muslims, and I say this not just for the Muslims, because these shows are archived, it's being recorded, and therefore, we have no idea who may listen to this program in the future, maybe a year or 10 years from now, because if you have the link that came with the phone number, the link can be used over and over again to access the archives. So I'm saying this next for the benefit of those who are listening now and those who may listen in the future. And many of us know this, that before reading the Quran, we first say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. And that is saying that I seek refuge with God. A'udhu billahi, billahi saying with, billahi, with Allah. Minash shaitan, min means away from. Many shaitan, away from Satan. Near my dream, the rejected, a cursed enemy. And that's the Satan outside of us, and it could be the Satan also inside of us. And we seek Allah's protection. You say, well, what do you mean the Satan inside of us? Sometimes we can read the Quran, but if we have an arrogant attitude or a selfish attitude, then we can get it twisted because our internal eye is being slanted or blinded by arrogance or jealousy or whatever. So you won't see that. So we ask Allah's protection from, when we seek Allah's protection from Satan, we reject the enemy. We are saying it in all ways that Satan can try to come at us. And then next, before reading the Quran, we say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, which means with the name Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. And you say that before reading the Quran, unless you're reading from chapter 9. Chapter 9, you do not say, you do say the first one, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. You may read in chapter 9 or any chapter of the Quran. But with chapter 9, you do not say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And so now we will read. الَّذِينَ أُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍّ إِلَّا أَنْ يَقُولُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ. Allah says here in this first portion of this surah, those, it's speak about people, you don't say which people, you say those who are الَّذِينَ, those who have been evicted or kicked out from their homes without justice, without haqqin, haqq, without the truth. The only reason they were kicked out, it says, illa an yakulu rabbuna allahu. The only thing what they said is that Allah is my Lord. And they were kicked out of their homes. It goes on and says, Walala daful Dilahi Natsu Badahu Bifahdin, says if Allah did not want people in check by having another group to watch them. In other words, if Allah didn't raise up one community or one nation to balance the scales and what's going on, if Allah didn't raise up one set of people to put the other set of people in check, Allah says, surely they would have been torn down, demolished. He says, surely they would have been demolished, and it names the houses. But before, in the beginning, it mentioned the houses, the homes. But it now began to name that these are not regular homes. These are houses of worship. And Allah says that he began to name these houses. And the first one, he says, the first house that's mentioned is what we call in English monasteries. Monasteries. It says in Arabic, Sawamiu. I said surely that the monasteries, Sawamiu, would have been demolished. Then it describes the next house as churches. No, that's the house of the Christians, right? It says, Wabiyaun. Yeah, we get the word, how someone say, you make baya to a leader. Make how you go and submit your allegiance to a leader, Beya. Beya comes from the same word as Biyaun. So Allah saying, if he had not raised one set of people by means to check another, then monasteries and churches, and then it says, Wasalawatum, and synagogues, Wamasajidu, and masjids. So here, the Quran is quite universal, inclusive. It could have just said masjids, and we could have understood it because we Muslims. We said, yeah, masjids. But no, it did not happen that way. It was not revealed that way. Allah is expanding, waking up our minds to expand to be more inclusive. Yes, you are a student and follower of the Quran. Allah is telling us plainly here that as a Muslim, if a Muslim reading that book, thy holy book, and you see where Allah mentions by name monasteries, churches, synagogues, and masjids, then we've got to say, whoa, I got to check myself when I look at other houses besides a worship, besides the masjids. I got to look at it not through my eyes, but through the eyes of the Quran. And the Quran is plain, plain as day. It says, it surely would have been demolished. It says, surely would have been demolished. So why mi'u, monasteries? Why biya'u, churches? Why salawatu, synagogues? Why masajidu, masjids? And it tells you in these houses, or it's mentioned the name of Allah. He says, Jadkuru fi has asmu Allahi. That, oh my goodness. Y'all hear this, dear Muslims? Allah is telling us that in churches and monasteries and synagogues, as well as masjids, Allah's name is praised much. It says, Kathiran. Kathiran. And Kathiran means in abundance, means a lot. So this is something for us to keep in mind, dear people. And in particular, those of us who adhere to the Quran in our book, Allah is very plain, very lucid, very direct, and said if Allah did not raise one set of people by means of checking others, then surely there would have been houses tore down in which his name is praised in abundance. And he mentions these houses. And dear Muslims, look at the names of synagogue, Salawat. And those of us who know Arabic, or a little bit of Arabic, I don't know a lot. I know enough to get by for, to do what I do. But I'm a conversational, but I know this much. This word here for synagogue, salawat, that is plural for prayer, for salat. You make five salats a day, right? Well, then the plural for salat means prayer. Singular is salat. Plural is salawat. The same identical spelling for synagogue in the Quran. Make sure it's something to think about. Allah's name is mentioned in these houses in abundance. And it says that surely the help of Allah Allah will surely help those who help in his cause. For Allah is strong. Allah is strong. Alhamdulillah. Allah is, it says, Azizun. Allah is Azizun. I'm going to go to the Yusuf Ali translation. You have to read it without stopping and then make a few comments. It reads, they are those who have been expelled from their homes in defiance of right cause, except that they say, our Lord is Allah. Did not Allah check one set of people by means of another, there would surely have been pulled down monasteries, churches, synagogues, and mosques or masjids, in which the name of Allah is commemorated in abundant measure. Allah will certainly aid those who aid his cause. For verily Allah is full of strength, exalted in might. Yes, then it says in parentheses, able to enforce his will. So that would be our reading for today. We have before us today. And I've read that with the intent of just saying a few words about what's going on in Israel and Gaza. If only the people of the book, meaning Christians and Jews, and also Muslims, so we have a book too. If we can just listen to the wisdom of these words and not expel people from their homes, particularly from their houses of worship, it's really a shame, it's really a disgrace, if I may say it that way, to where we see innocent people being killed unnecessarily. There's religious movements, and then there's nationalistic movements. I had to go do a little research. I kept hearing the word Jews, and I heard the word Zionist. I said, are the two always one and the same? And the answer is no. A Jew can be a nationalistic name. It could be also a religious title. But when you say Zionist, it's a nationalistic title for those who want to see a homeland established for the Jewish people, a national homeland. That's a Zionist. And there are many Jews who are against Zionists because they say the Messiah hasn't came back yet. So people were using their understanding or their rationale or their excuses to hurt people, to kill people, to displace people. It's not right, and as Muslims, we should not be quiet on it. We should join Christians and Jews, because there's as quiet as it's kept, there's a number of Jews who are against what's going on, against the Palestinian people. And then we have to tell our Palestinian brothers and sisters, in particular those who are Muslim, did not the Quran tell us that we should not let one people's injustice to us make us swerve, ourselves committing injustice? The Quran is plain and clear on that. So, dear Muslims, we cannot allow the hurt and the passions to take us away from having faith and trust in what Allah has given us plainly and clearly in the Quran. So lastly, I know this is probably whenever, I shouldn't say that. But right now it's probably hard to find. But I would like to find a Jewish mother and ask her a question. Now I asked the Jewish mother, I said, when you hear about a Palestinian baby being bombed or losing their life due to the war, how does that make you feel? Do you feel good? Do you feel hurt? Likewise, I would like to ask the Palestinian mother the same question. When you hear about a Jewish baby being kidnapped or being burnt alive, how does that make you, as a Palestinian mother, how does that make you feel hearing about a Jewish baby being done that way? Why am I saying that? Because so many people have entrenched themselves in their own thinking and in their own pain and in their own pity that they cannot tell the whole truth on the situation. They can't do it. And a lot of times it's just greed and arrogance, but sometimes it's just blind faith. And until our leaders are really, I'm referring now to our religious leaders, our imams, rabbis, priests, and all, until we're really ready to look at what God has said to all of us in our respective books, it's only going to get worse. Because too many of us have used the word of God to lie on people, resulting in slavery, genocide, the loss of the abuse of women, and the list goes on. And this is my last statement. If you study the last sermon, this is called Prophet Muhammad, he deals with the sexism, the racism, the nationalism. He deals with it plainly. And he ends it by saying, after he asked his people, I think he said three times, have I not conveyed to you the message? And they said, yeah, Rasulullah, yes, Messenger of God. And then he said, after the third time they confirmed it, he said, well, those of you who are present today, go tell those who are not here, perchance they will do more. But dear Muslims, we should not be quiet during this time. Dear people, I should say, there's Muslims, there's non-Muslims listening also. We should not be quiet. We should remain right on both sides. And we should not be quiet about the history, the 75-year history of pain and suffering. Okay. Alhamdulillah. Thank you for giving me that time. I wanted to share that today. We're going to get into our conversation with Muslim Journal. I'm going to bring on Imam Bilal Hassan first. He may have a comment. Sister Marsha, I see her too. I did not see Brother Majestic on here yet. Brother Majestic, oh, there he is. There he is. Okay. Well, we're going to do the ladies first. Sister Marsha, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Welcome to Words Made People. You have any comments just briefly on what I just shared about my personal thoughts today?
Yeah, I thought that your desire to want to inquire with the moms on both sides was very poignant because, you know, sometimes we lose focus of our humanity. And so you have me curious of wanting to, you know, ask the question as well, because the answer that comes from that speaks to how connected we are to our humanity.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much. Okay, I'm a sister Imam Bilal signed on first. I'm going to go to him next. Imam Bilal Hassan from, is it Queens, New York?
Yes, yes. Assalamu alaikum, Imam Mikhail Sahir.
Alaikum assalam. How you doing, sir?
Alhamdulillah, how about yourself?
I'm doing okay, but your voice is a little bit faint. Are you on a voicemail?
Hold on.
I'm not voice.
Hear me now?
Yes. Say
okay.
Something.
Yes. I'm here.
I think it's better. Oh, yeah, that's better. Thank you.
Okay.
Do you have any reflections on what I just shared?
Well, it's a very loaded topic. It's a very loaded situation. But I think you put it in the context of the importance of our humanity, the importance of us connecting to each other and understanding that we're all servants of God, you know, and since we're all servants, you know, one is not better than the other. And one's pain also doesn't supersede another one's pain and suffering.
Yes.
I think that's very important that we acknowledge that, and that there's pain on both sides, and there's suffering that's been on both sides. But we also want to acknowledge the point where the one that was bullied at one point and went through suffering and oppression should not be the one that now becomes the bully to everyone.
That's right.
Everyone and everything. You know what I mean? So that's another point. That's another point of context as well. But I think you put it real nice and poised.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you very much. Last but not least, our brother Imam Mujahideen. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to Words Made People, sir.
Wa alaikum salaam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you. In conjunction with my colleagues just shared in relation to the reflection, you mentioned about the next now. We just did a prayer about a week or so ago and with members on the Folklore, and we opened it up to all people of Abrahamic faith. And one of the things that you said today that brought me back to that was when you said the imam, the priest, the rabbi, to be silent. We shouldn't be silent, but also you said we should look at our scriptures. And I think that's one thing we're kind of leaving out of the picture. We're allowing preaching, we're allowing ideology to supersede the reality of what the scripture says. And so if our argument is based on revelation, then we should all be reviewing our revelations and come to common term, as our scripture says, come to common term between us and you. So that's what stuck out to me.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. Thank you, all three of you all, for your sharing your reflections. Just want to keep that conversation alive, keep that fire burning, but keep the fire under control as we continue to look at this issue. We do not want to let passions take over and blind our vision, but we have to be faithful, diligent, outspoken, just be outspoken. I just got a glimpse of our visa mouth for the Imam Muhammad comment. They say on the hadith that we all see very often, that if you see a wrong, try to do it with your hands. If not with your hands, then it, speak out against it. But you can't change it by speaking out against it. At least feel hurt in your heart that you could not do it. But the man went on to explain or to add to that. He said, it's like you're keeping it in your heart, and it's going to work on you. It's going to give you what to say. So even if you hold it in your heart, because most times they conclude that, they say, well, that's the weakness of faith. And that may be so, but he didn't leave it just being weak in faith. He said, hold it in your heart. It's going to give you the words to say in time. So let's keep that conversation going. But today we're going to talk about the 19th annual, A Time to Be Grateful. Scheduled to be from the weekend beginning Thursday, December 7th, through Sunday, December 10th, in Newark, New Jersey, in the Meadowlands. And you three are working on the team, the planning team. I know it's bigger than the three of you are, no. But we're going to talk about that. But before we do that, can you all just take a minute and tell everybody who you are? Because you said these shows are archived and be played, who knows, later on. So just a little thumbnail, please, of who you are, how you came to Islam. Some of you were converts. Some of you were born to Islam. And Sister Marsha, can we begin with you?
Absolutely. So, yes, my name is Marsha Nivens. Most people say Sister Marsha just because that's how I introduce myself on our New Freedom Exchange podcast. Mm-hmm. I am one of the three co-hosts for the New Freedom Exchange podcast. I am a native of Jersey City, New Jersey, a mother of three, a graduate of Howard University as well as Seton Hall University, and by trade I am a grant writer. I came into the community probably somewhere around 2003 or so, and I eventually took Shahada in 2008, and I've been on my Muslim Islamic journey since then, and I love it. I mean, I've always loved community. I grew up in the church, so I was very much involved in a community of faith, mm-hmm. and so that's not unfamiliar to me. And I'm a part of so many different organizations in this community, and everyone is so welcoming and gracious, and we're on this path of greatness, and I'm excited about the work that's mm-hmm. coming out of the 19th annual A Time to Be Grateful.
I'm just curious, you know, what was your journey like to Islam, or how did that transpire?
Sure. Yeah, so I actually learned about Islam from my children's father. He had introduced it to me, and it's interesting because it was at a time where I was already sort of in this questioning phase as it related to my Christianity. I grew up in the church, so, you know, I was mm-hmm. very much involved in everything as it related to the church, sang in the choir. I was on the treasury board, you know, spoke and led services for the youth and all of those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. But it was at a time in my life where I was sort of questioning the tenets of the faith, right? And at mm-hmm. that time, there were people in my life who couldn't necessarily answer questions for me that I was posing, and mm-hmm. at the same time I get connected to learning about Islam, and it for me it resonated with that core understanding that I had within me that you know we all come from this godly source, and for me to think that because I am of this faith that I have some sort of hierarchy that someone else doesn't have, or because you don't, you know, get baptized or this or that or third, that you're not, you don't have a same connection to your Creator. That just, it wasn't working for me anymore. And I learned that in Islam that we're all from the source, and it just seemed like it was, you know, the way to think and believe. It really resonated with me, and so that was the beginning of my journey. And then obviously from there, you know, there's so much study that you do in order to learn more.
Alhamdulillah, praise be to God. That's very precious, and it has to be treasured. As she was speaking, I was reminded, we had a recent Imams meeting in the Midwest, and they voiced their concern. They'll be probably here nationwide. And they have this idea that the membership of many of our masters is over an upside-down pyramid. It's how they describe it. But there being less younger people at the bottom, and on the top is more older people. And they were concerned about membership. And I told them, I said, well, a lot of times I said, no, I don't worry about it. Because your membership is coming. Right now, they at church singing songs, or they're employing themselves in drugs, or they in prison or whatever, but they coming. Don't worry about it. You know, and they crossed my mind because many of us converted, my age in particular. And we had, even my life in church was not a bad life in church, but I was like you. You reached that point of saying, I need more information. So thank you very much, Sister Marcia. Brother Imam Bilal Hassan, are you second or third generation Muslim?
I am second, Imam Mikhail Sahir. I am second generation.
Yes, sir. So tell people a little bit about yourself, please.
Well, I am Imam Bilal Hassan in Queens, New York. I am the executive director of producer-writer of New Freedom Exchange. Podcast that me, myself, Sister Marcia, and Brother Mujahideen have. I am also the co-director. We follow a co-leadership model for our not-for-profit, which is New Freedom Works, and also the CFO for our for-profit business, Prosperity Marketplace Exchange. I am a proud graduate of the Fiqh Muhammad School of Queens in Corona, and he is Elmhurst, Shemeshin Nuruddin, and which is formerly known as Temple Number 7B, not too far from where Malcolm X's house used to live. He used to live in East Elmhurst. That was firebombed with a lot of cocktails back in the days. A proud graduate of the Lincoln University, the first historically black college university, degree granting rather, HBCU. So much I can say. I'm just happy to be part of this community, growing up in this community for numerous years, getting to know a lot more about the history of this community from the elders. It's been very rewarding for me, coming from my father, who was a very strong supporter of Imam Muhammad, and our household, with our archives that Allah has blessed us to receive as children. Myself and my sister has been very beneficial to our upbringing, and very much indebted to this community for instilling those sense of value, sense of community, sense of family, sense of trust and honesty, sense of care as well. It's like having an extended family. You know, you go to any city or state, you'd be like, you know, you go to the masjid, it's like, oh, it's love. It's a lot of love, a lot of compassion, a lot of care. And that's something that we need to hone in more on and build that our sense of care and compassion for each other in our community.
Yes, sir. Well, you remember that we can hear you mostly, but if you can get a way to get your, talk to your phone directly, or, and not be on Bluetooth or not be on speakerphone, I think you may come through better. Brother, yeah, but thank you for what you shared and the history of your family, because your father was a very strong soldier, a very well-grounded student of Imam Muhammad. You know, he shared before his passing, he shared a lot of information to the believers. And so we appreciate you and your family and for the support that has been given. Brother Imam Mujahideen, can you give us a little picture of yourself, who you are, please?
Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. Mujahideen Muhammad. I was born and raised in Newark, New Jersey. I guess technically I'm third generation by consciousness. And then on my mother's father's mother's side, she got history going back 200 years of our family. Ooh. Coming from Africa and trace all the way up to today, coming from the Fulani and all that good stuff. So, but consciously from Nation of Islam, my grandmother, or my great aunt came in I think 69, then my father came in 74, and then I'm an 80s baby. And so homeschooled up until high school, went to a trade school, started out of the family early. Transitioned to community development, came into community development in Philadelphia, in the West Philadelphia area. We renamed it, or a section of it called the New Freedom District, and also an archivist of Imam Muhammad's lectures, and a student of this religion. And one of my goals, inshallah, is I had this goal actually as a young man to be a Hafiz, but I never formally went anywhere to do it. But the Quran is very dear to my heart, and inshallah, come up with a strategy to. I actually seen some programs they have where you could, you know, learn to learn the Quran as an adult. It's a little different than as a child. Right. But, yeah. Also, as Bilal mentioned, all of our organizations, New Freedom Works, nonprofit. PMX, our business, for profit, and then our podcast, New Freedom Exchange, which started here on Station IWDM with Brother Khalid Islam inviting us to come on and work with you all. Alhamdulillah, before we
conclude the other thing. I love giving forth sin, going to paradise. Okay, let's get into our main conversation. Tomorrow is the deadline, is it, to get tickets set the regular rate. Just wanted to mention that. But tell us about, in no particular order, tell us about this year's A Time to Be Grateful. What do we need to know? What do we need to be doing?
So this year's A Time to Be Grateful is jam-packed, and it has something for everyone, in my opinion. This year, we are adding Thursday to the lineup. Thursday is traditionally not a day that we have been incorporating into A Time to Be Grateful, but this year we will be incorporating Thursday. And on Thursday, we'll have some events that Imam Bilal is very much connected to. And so I'll just run them down and I'll let him go into a little bit more detail about them. So we do have a book fair and museum exhibit that will be on Thursday. We also will have a cultural heritage bus tour. Imam Mujahideen is actually very much connected to that. Then we'll have a recognition dinner for the paper sellers, those who have sold Muhammad Speaks, Muslim Journals, and the iterations in between, to recognize their contribution to the Muslim Journal's journey and the impact that it has had in the world of literacy and journalism publications. And then we'll close the evening with a movie night for families. So there'll be an opportunity for families to come together and watch a movie with the children, because we do want to make sure that our children incorporated into the activities. I'm a mom, so I understand, you know, when you bring your children to these events, you know, they're bored every 5 seconds. So we stuck some activities in the agenda so that they can have a good time as well. But in terms of the details of the book fair and the bus tour as well as the recognition, I'm going to let Imam Bilal, Imam Mujahideen talk about that.
Well, let me ask you, now, this is just Thursdays alone. You haven't even touched Friday and Saturday or Sunday. This is just Thursday. You got 4 events on Thursday?
Yes. Actually, five, because I missed one. Yeah, I missed one. So there's
one.
Also a press conference. So that's actually what will kick it off, right? It's going to be a press conference where we're going to talk about the weekend of events to come and really be able to spotlight Muslim Journal and the A Time to Be Grateful conference for any press that are going to be present.
So will these be done in succession, or would they be done same time? Or?
So some things do overlap. For instance, the press conference is from 9 to 11. The book fair will run from 11 to 5. So it's something that you can come – the book fair and museum exhibits from 11 to 5 is something that you can come in and out of. The bus tour will run from 1 to 6, and then the recognition dinner will be from 6:30 to 9, and the movie night is from 7 to 10. So some things do overlap, but some are designed to be things that you can sort of come in and out of, and then you'll be able to get to do something else in that time frame as well.
Great. Wow. Quite a bit. Now, there's different packages a person can buy. But I understand some of these Thursday events are not included in that package. Before we get details on Thursdays, can someone speak on the different packages a person can buy? And is there the event tickets are available at the regular rate until tomorrow, the 27th? Can you tell us about those packages? And is tomorrow still the deadline to get it at the lower rate?
Okay.
I lost it. Yeah, so can someone tell us about the different packages that are available?
Yeah, so there's the all-access package, and then there's a la carte. With the all-access, it's mainly the signature events, the traditional events on Friday, the culture night, the Saturday, the banquet, and Sunday, the business breakfast. So the Thursday event, the only paying event is the recognition dinner. So that's a la carte.
Right. And I went to, for those who are listening, again, online to muslimjournal.net and hit the menu for ATTBG, the acronym for A Time to Be Grateful, and this information came up. Because you only have until tomorrow before the prices go up. Okay. Is there any other details about Thursday's events that maybe Imam Bilal or someone can share? She said, Sister Moshe, so you may hear more details.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Am I good? Okay.
Yes.
So bear with me. I'm actually driving too, so you may hear some racket in the back. But yes. So Thursday we are kicking off our museum and museum exhibit. So we have several exhibitors coming up. One, the International Muslim Cultures Museum of Jackson, Mississippi is coming with their Timbuktu exhibit. Not the whole exhibit, but a nice appetizer to the award-winning Timbuktu exhibit. That's award-winning Timbuktu exhibit. So you're going to see a little bit of that of that exhibit. Then we have our brother, Amir Mohammed from D.C., Washington, D.C., from the Islamic Heritage Museum in D.C.
Yes,
he will be bringing up some of his exhibit, along with our dear brother, Abdul Rahim Mohammed, from West Philadelphia. He will be bringing his exhibit from the New Africa Museum.
Yes.
That they have in the West Philadelphia region. And also, the last exhibit is New Freedom Works exhibit that was put together, organized and structured by our dear beloved brother Lester Mohammed out of Atlantic City, New Jersey. And we are the curator, the curator of this mobile museum called the Bilalian Night at the Museum. So that will happen. We have pieces of that exhibit, and then also the authors will be there, that you can meet and greet the authors at their tables,
mm-hmm.
and also purchase their books as well. So we still have space. Actually, we still have space for some more authors. So if you are an author and you want to have a table on Thursday from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m., please email us at 2023, that's 2023ATTBG at gmail.com if you want a spot as author for the author's table. And then we have in the night honoring the Muhammad
Shah. Wait a minute. No, I'm sorry.
Hmm?
As you said, the email you at 2023ATTBG. TTBG.
Yes.
But you didn't get a handle. Is that at Gmail or Yahoo or what?
Yeah, gmail.com. Gmail.com. 2023ATTBG at gmail.com. Gmail.com.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And we'll repeat that email as we go along, too, because it's very important, a very important contact, too, if anyone has any questions. Yes, and then we wrap up the evening with the tribute recognition dinner to the Muhammad Speaks salesmen, those brothers who were part of the foundation of laying out the paper across the country to many, 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 many people, nationally mm-hmm. and internationally, and those brothers who also stuck around for the different iterations of the Muhammad Speaks newspaper, rather not just iterations, but its evolution.
Right.
It went through a series of evolutions to get to the Muslim Journal to where we are today. So we want to honor those brothers who are alive and who are deceased. We are inviting the families, the widows,
mm-hmm.
the children, the grandchildren, to come out to enjoy a delicious meal. And also we will be honoring the 300-plus men, which is a very special category to be in. It's a very special honor. If you sell 300, 500, 1,000 papers, oh, yeah, very special. Everyone is special. But this is a very, very special group of brothers who sacrifice much. We will be giving them a special gift, that they will be pinned with. They'll be pinned with the 300-plus lapel.
And when you say, I have a question. When you say 300-plus,
yes.
What does that mean? Or is that how many papers they sold, or what does that mean?
Yes, that's how many papers they sell, 300-plus. Yes.
A week?
Yes, volume. We're talking about, a week. Volume. Yes, I'm saying volume-wise, we had a lot of brothers who were selling at least 300 a week, but we even had brothers selling 1,000 a week. And then we have people who are in crews, you know, in groups who are selling 10,000 a week because they were all pushing it. Like they were traveling in different groups across the states and sell the Muhammad Speaks newspaper at a lot of these downtown cities that we live in.
Right.
You know, downtown,
okay.
You know, at Amtrak, at the subway stations, et cetera, et cetera. Where there was a lot of high volume, a lot of traffic, foot traffic, you know, so they would be able to get the paper out at a high pace in a high volume. But they also had the art of dawah, the art of talking to people, which is something that is very
right.
crucial when you talk about media and words make people and how do we talk about our messaging of al-Islam. These early brothers had a very, what they call the gift of the gab, you know, in the right way, and able to communicate the messaging at that time, the language at that time. Obviously, we have evolved, and our language has evolved from that time. But having the expression needed to communicate how important this paper is to our community and how important it should be to others.
Yes,
members
sir.
Of our community is something that
yeah.
Hopefully as we keep going and maturing and growing, you know, we master that level of how to deliver that message.
Yes, sir.
You know, in 2023
to
masters.
Ask you, on the Thursday events, which ones cost and which ones do not cost?
Okay. So the museum and the book fair is free, open to the public, no charge. The dinner that night is a $35 fee per person for the Mama Speak Salesman dinner. It is $35 per person. And if you want to come and support, which I welcome you all to do, is to come and support our brothers. Who sold the Mama Speaks / Muslim Journal newspaper, inshallah.
And what about the bus tour? How much is that?
I'm going to shift to Imam Mujahideen Muhammad.
Yeah, the bus tour,
okay.
It's $60. $60. It's a multi-city, a multi-location sightseeing tour. Ironically, one of the first tours that we did with A Time to Be Grateful was in 2015 in Philadelphia, New Freedom District Tour. And so we're kind of carrying that over. We're going to highlight the historical African-American experience in Newark and New York, as well as the Muslim African-American experience. And so we want to touch New York first and come into New Jersey, the new home of the Muslim Journal headquarters, and then come on back to the Meadowlands.
Right. So you saying that's $66, right?
Yes, sir. And we'll stop. We'll get some eats. We'll get some time to do a little shopping at some of the Muslim businesses in different areas and go to the different masjids in our association as well.
Right. Okay. So we got to make sure I do my credit card. Y'all going to have the square and the cash up there, the swipe?
They are working on that. We just advise you to get your tickets beforehand so we won't sell out. I mean, so you won't miss out if we do sell out. But we are going to have on-site sales as well. But we're encouraging free sales.
I'm sorry, what's the last statement?
I said we encourage pre-sales so that
pre-sales.
You
don't
know
what to work with.
Yeah. Yep.
Great. Now, what about the movie, Sister Marsha? Is there a choice for the movie?
So the movie is also open to the public. It's a time for us to just come out and be with one another, particularly so that the children have something to enjoy. So that's also open.
It's free?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I guess, you know, it's something about that word free that kind of resonates, you know, when we hear free.
Yes. Say open to the public.
Free.
What does that mean? You gotta say free.
Yes, man, you gotta say free. Oh wow, you know, hey, this is a weekend full already, just on Thursday. So what's going on Friday?
So Friday we're kicking off.
Okay.
I'll just do the first part. So Friday we're kicking off with a meet and greet breakfast. As you know, as one of the members of the new board of directors of the Muslim Journal, we're allowing the general community of our association to meet us in person, and it'll be over breakfast. And so that morning, we have that available. I think there is a cost for that. I believe it's $35, if I'm not mistaken. So that will kick off Friday. And then we didn't mention yesterday, but yesterday and all throughout the whole weekend, we have the marketplace, vendors. We have over 50-plus mm-hmm. vendors that will be there with their wares and their products and some services, I'm sure. So that will be
so what time is the breakfast?
All day.
What time is the breakfast?
So the breakfast is from 8 to 9:30.
Okay. Now,
at that breakfast, you'll get to meet the board members of the Muslim Journal. This is a new strategy that the journal has put into place to have a board to help govern the affairs of the journal and really work toward bringing to life the vision and the new trajectory of the journal. And so at that breakfast, you will get a chance to meet the board members.
So now this breakfast, is it, she bought the whole package, then it's included, or is it only by herself, a la carte?
And I'm going to pull the packages up just so that I can share that information as we're having this conversation. But it is my understanding that if you bought an all access, then that would get you into everything. But I will confirm that before we end this conversation, just so that we're all on the same page. But the idea of having all access is that you're connected to everything that is going to happen for the entirety of the conference.
Now, I'm looking here on the MuslimJournal.net site, and it says $290 is the excess package one, and it includes workshops, banquet, awards, dinner, cultural night, family luncheon, fashion show, business breakfast, and the presentation. So
at the time that information was listed, perhaps some of these other more unique events had not been developed. And so we'll make sure that we get you the appropriate information just to make sure everyone understands what their package includes.
Yes, ma'am. And I also want to let our listeners know if you have a question or comment, a brief comment, please. About the time to be grateful, press 1 on your phone and we can work you into the conversation. This is our program. The Muslim Journal Time to Be Grateful is really refreshing. I've made more than I've missed. I made quite a few, being my wife. And it is a wonderful environment. It really that you leave really feeling good because you have a good time while you're there. At one time, they quit using this phrase, but I liked it. They called it a fitna-free environment. Fitna means confusion and problems. Because you can really go there, and for me and my family, we get that old spirit of going to the convention when the Imam Muhammad was with us. It's just that nice. It's full of excitement, vendors. Believers you're not seeing in months or years. It's just a real good time. They have wonderful Jumma Coop Bar services. It's just a wonderful time. So you don't want to miss this. And it tends to get better and better and better in each and every year. Now we have Generation Next now, which is being the young people who are saying, no, this is our turn now. And you have three of them here today taking the lead, leading this conversation. And it's such a wonderful thing. So please, if you haven't registered, please do. The hotels, the first hotel sold out in July, and the second hotel, I'm not sure about that one, but this is a wonderful time. It is a time to be grateful. So what else is going on Friday, Brother Imam? Brother Bilal, he fell off. Maybe he'll call back in. Imam, Mujahideen, what else is going on Friday?
Yeah, so right after, also I failed to mention Friday morning is the kicking off with Fajr. All the Salat, we have a designated area, and that first Fajr Salat, we're going to have afterwards a halakha, reflection session. And then after that, we're going to have whole wellness workshops or activities. And Sister Marcia can speak to that a little more, but we're going to have before even the breakfast every day, actually, starting on Friday. And then the meet and greet breakfast, and then of course Yom Juma, and our special khatib this year has been confirmed. Imam Nasser Ahmed will bless us, inshallah, to do the Juma. So that information will be out shortly as well. And then following the Juma, it gets really busy again. So I'll bring Marcia back on to unpack after Juma.
Absolutely. Yes, yes. So after Juma, we have a couple of different activities that are going to be happening. There is a workshop entitled Doing Business Globally, where we'll learn about business and trade outside of the country as well as in the country too, but really being able to broaden our prospects as it relates to business and the process thereof to connect outside of the country. There will be, for the imams who are in attendance, there will be the imams meeting where they'll come and convene and talk about topics that are relevant to them. Being that we'll be in this central location, that's always a good time to come together and be able to convene with a bunch of people in one space. There's also a single social. So for the singles out there who are looking for meets, there will be some activities and icebreakers to get to know some new people and perhaps to meet the one that Allah has designed for you. Then we'll have a bean pie contest. So the young adults have added a nice addition to A Time to Be Grateful this year, where they'll be facilitating a bean pie contest. We have a few bean pie producers who have graciously decided to put their bean pie on display and have us judge who's the best. You know, when you go from locale to locale, everyone believes that their bean pie is the best, and so we don't find out.
Wait a minute.
Say it again.
Wait a minute. Now, I know people on the West Coast and Midwest too that may want to get in. Is it too late to get your pie in into the contest?
So the young adults are facilitating this. I'm sure that we could offline get you in touch with the young adult chair people who are facilitating this. It's going to be happening on Friday, so you would have to I guess I don't know the logistics around like keeping the pie fresh and all of that stuff, but they may be open to it, so we can absolutely put anyone who's interested in touch with the young adults to get your pie added as an entry.
Yeah, do you have to be there with your pie, or can you send your pie?
I'm not sure. Like I said, the young adults are facilitating this, and so I'm not completely sure of the intricacies of their process. I would imagine that you would want to be there with your pie for the judging purposes of it, but those are things that we can absolutely get feedback from the young adults to make sure that we are given the appropriate information as it relates to the contest.
Well, just one last question about the contest. What is the prize?
Sure. Ooh. Yeah, we gotta get the young adults on the line, because as far as I know right now, everyone's looking for, you know, the recognition that their pie is the best one. But in terms of an actual prize, I'm not sure what they planned, and so that's actually going to be a surprise and a mystery for me as well.
Yeah, so something, a plaque, trophies, I mean, to say it, is one thing, but to have a little fleck on the wall, you say, "See, told you."
We gotta get them in the space and on the show to let us know, you know, what the prize is for the contest.
Well, then, let me say today, sit to my listeners, you're listening to Words Made People. I'm your host, Michael Sahir. On station IWDM, press one on your phone, please, for your questions and comments. About the 19th annual Wilson Journal, a time to be grateful. Okay, with us, Sister Marsha Nivens, Imam Mujahideen Muhammad, and Imam Bilal Hassan, he meant to call back in. They're with the New Freedom Exchange, and also known as Generation Next now. Just real quickly, just a little, you know, divert for a minute. What is New Freedom Exchange, and what is Generation Next now?
New Freedom Exchange is our podcast where we focus on cultural expression, highlighting social dignity and community empowerment. And it came about, again, as a call from or invitation from Khalid Ismail. I was an imam in Trenton. He had reached out to me and congratulated me, and he said he wanted to invite young people on this platform to share what we're doing, what are we up to. And so there's a long backstory of how we finally agreed to come on and share this opportunity, but that's how it came about. It was an opportunity to share with this new freedom mind, which is connected to Next Now, ironically, that we have to look at what's coming right now and do our share now. So Next Now, you actually dubbed that term. We were working with you and those who went to Rome with the Focolari, continuing the pack of unity. Yes, sir.
Well, now on that part, I can speak briefly on that because on the phrase next now, it's that, see, many of us, my age and older, when we came into the community, we were like 15, 20 years old. And by the time we were 25 or 30, we had roles inside the community doing jobs, being a secretary, whatever, right? Even to look at Dr. King and Malcolm X, they both died when they were 39 years old. So a lot of great things were being done by the young people then. However, in my generation now, we 50, 60, 70 years old, and we still got a little life in us, and sometimes we can be in the way, if I can just say it so directly, we're in the way of you all's generation. It's you all's turn now. The same as we had our turn back in the 50s, 60s, the 70s, and the 80s. And we had our turn probably younger than what you are or now. So we need to expand and make way for the next generation right now. That was my thinking behind it. So, okay, good. Alhamdulillah. Are we done with Friday?
So there are some things that we still haven't discussed for Friday. So Friday also includes a game station for the children where they'll have a couple of hours to play some games. We have another movie night on Friday as well. And then the signature Muslim Journal event that usually happens on Friday is the culture night. And to bring in the culture night, we're going to have a red carpet this year. And on that red carpet, we're asking everyone to wear your best sneaker. I know in the Midwest you say tennis shoes. I remember when I was in college, a lot of my friends from the Midwest didn't say sneakers. They said tennis shoes, and I thought that was so interesting.
Right.
But Yes, on the red carpet, we're asking everyone to wear your best tennis shoes / sneaker, and then we'll have culture night with some extraordinary artists from our community, from vocalists to spoken word artists to rappers and musicians. We'll have the likes of Sister Suad Al-Amin. We'll have Misunderstood. We'll have Sister Nabia. My daughter will be actually gracing the stage. She's a spoken word artist, the Melanin Hijabi. And then we have the Phillies Intruders. And so we have a whole host. I wish I had a full.
You have the actual group, the Intruders, from back in the day?
The Phillies Intruders.
Okay, so that was a good call.
This is a Philly rendition of the Intruders.
Yeah.
Called the Philly Intruders.
Good. I'm looking forward to hearing that.
Yes, and I've seen them perform. They're awesome. You'll have a great time listening to their renditions of so much of that good music from, you know, the 50s, 60s, 70s, you know. And so we'll get a chance to enjoy a time together on Friday mm-hmm. evening. That culture night is from 7 to 10. And then from the 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock hour, we'll have some social time in that same space with each other. So it is lining up to be a very promising and enjoying event.
Well, it sounds like, I know from what I've been able to perceive, that you about sold out of tickets on a lot of events. It seems like it's going to be a nice crowd there. If you sell out of certain events or you sell out, period, will anything be simulcast on Facebook or some other outlet?
Yeah, so we are the live streaming option for those who cannot make it to the event will be coming out shortly. It's probably going to be released sometime this week or so. For those who are not able to come in person, there will be some of these signature events live stream, so like the culture night, and once we get to talking about what's happening on Saturday, like the fashion show and banquet, business breakfast, those mm-hmm. sorts of mainstream events that are traditional to the Time to Be Grateful conference will be available via live stream.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Okay, I'm waiting for you, ma'am. Let us sign back on. Maybe you got sidetracked. Dear listeners, press 1 on your phone for any questions or comments. We got a lot of people listening, but don't want to have any comments or questions. This is a wonderful event.
One question we would ask or prompt the listeners is, have you been to a Time to Be Grateful before, and how many? We're looking forward to seeing who's been to the most of Time to Be Grateful. So that's going to come throughout the
Good. Yeah, so people, if you've been to a Time to Be Grateful before, press 1 on your phone and tell us about it. How many times have you been? I've not been to them all, but I know me and my wife, we've been to Bermuda, D.C., I think D.C. twice, L.A., Kansas City, Louisville, Kentucky, Chicago, of course, because again in Chicago. Atlanta, Georgia had the COVID, so we didn't do Atlanta, Georgia. But we've been to quite a few. So, dear listeners, if you have any past experiences you want to share or going through the Time to Be Grateful, please press 1 on your phone, and we would love to hear from you about your experiences. Okay,
and I just wanted
here.
To ask something. So I know we had a question. You had asked a question about the meet and greet breakfast for the Muslim Journal Board and whether or not that was included in the all access package. So that is not, and it's only because, as I mentioned earlier, that was one of the events that came later. It wasn't included in that package. So I just wanted to make sure that the listeners were informed that that particular breakfast is not included in the package.
Right. So, and that's Friday morning from 8 a.m. to 9:30 a.m., $35 per ticket. That mm-hmm. is in addition to the all-access package. Okay, thank you very much, Mr.
Yes.
Marsha. Call us 678-678. Thanks for calling Voice Made People. Can you give us your first name and your city, please?
Assalamu alaikum. This is Quran out of Atlanta, Georgia. And I'm excited about to be grateful. Yay, yes. I'm excited. I'm just gonna lie. Only missed two of the time to be grateful. And it has always been, as you said, Imam Sahir, fulfilling, enjoying, fitna free. And this year sounds really exciting. I'm excited that you are including the young people. I think a lot of times when we're planning our events around the country, we just plan and don't really intentionally plan for them. So I'm very excited that there are really intentional things being planned for our young people, from the youngest ones to the teens and the young adults. So that's very exciting to me. And to even know that the young people are involved in the planning of what's going on, that's also good news for us. And it signals a beautiful future for us. My question is about the activities that are not included in the All Access. So I think that the tour is not a part of the All Access. And I heard you when you said the breakfast on Friday is not. But I think the breakfast on Sunday is. So if you could tell us what is in the All Inclusive and what is not, so we'll know what we need to pay additional fees for. And then if there are tickets still available.
Yeah, thank you. And before they answer the question, I want to add to that question. What's currently on the website is that the latest listing, because if someone go in the website, is that the most current listing of events that it is included in the All Access package.
Yeah, so on the website is current, and as things change, we do go in and update. So, for instance, if something were to change between today and tomorrow, we would go in and make the edits just to try to keep it as current as possible at all times. I'm actually looking at the packages now, and I do not see the tour on here, so it looks like that's also another component that's not a part of the All Access package. But All Access includes workshops, the banquet, which is on Saturday evening, culture night, which is on Friday evening, the fashion show luncheon, which is Saturday afternoon, the business breakfast that is on Sunday. And then some of the other events that we're going to talk about, like I mentioned, we mentioned like the book fair and museum, right? There's no cost to that. So that's going to be free to everyone. Single social, that's going to be free to everyone. The bean pie contest, everyone, you know, that can fit in the space is going to be able to come in there as well. We talked about health and wellness, you know, having some presentations that connect to health and wellness. That falls up under workshops. So that's a part of what you already are receiving as it pertains to workshops. So right now, that from what I'm looking at on the site and what we're discussing, it seems like the meet and greet breakfast for the Muslim Journal board members and the tour are not included in this package.
Okay.
For the tour, you said the tour is $60. Does that include a meal, or you just have to buy your own food for the tour?
Yeah, you'll be buying your own. We'll be allowing people to go shopping. We're going to pass a couple halal restaurants and marketplaces.
Yes, sir. All right. Sister Karani, you have any more comments or questions?
No, that's it. Thank you so much. And I hadn't been going on the website. I went to Eventbrite to get my tickets. So I'm going to try the website because I know I've gotten it all inclusive, but I did not see where I could get the tour. So I'll do that again.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, and so when we're mentioning the website, even when you go to the website and you click purchase tickets, it's taking you to Eventbrite. So it's going to ultimately lead you to the same place for purchasing. The website, you'll just be able to see the flyers for each of the events, learn what's involved and the cost. But ultimately for the purchase, once you click, it's going to take you to Eventbrite.
Gotcha. Thank you so much, and thank you for the work you're doing.
Thank you for being an inspiration.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Okay, callers, the lines are open. You can press one on your phone. We'll get you into the conversation. So we're still working on Friday. Well, Friday is going to be quite a bit, too. And there is something for everyone. You said that you did not make an understatement. For Friday, we have the breakfast to meet the Muslim Journal Board. And before that, every morning you're going to have Fajr prayer. You're going to have to go for all five prayers for sure. But after the Fajr prayer, you're going to have a halakha session. You can sit and talk. And also wellness sessions. That's every morning. Then Juma prayer, Imam Nasser Ahmed. There's the Khatib or the Juma. You got workshops, Imam meetings, single social theme park contest, games for children, movies, and culture night. I tell you what, I'm going to have to make sure I give me some rest before I come.
Absolutely. And there's one workshop that actually happens on Friday morning before Juma, and that one is about the future of the Muslim Journal. So that was one of the workshops that wasn't mentioned. And then the other thing I just wanted to point out is that the museum exhibits that we talked about on Thursday, they will be available the entirety of the weekend. So there'll be sort of a larger display on Thursday, and then Friday, some of those exhibitors will still be on site, and so there'll be a smaller display that you'll get to go in and see throughout the rest of the weekend. So I just wanted to make sure that everyone was aware of that.
Sure. So what time is this workshop? It's called The Future of Muslim Journal. What time is the workshop?
And that one is from 10:30 to 11:30.
Okay.
So that's early Friday.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, good. So to our next caller, I think this is in Chicago, and number 773, I think. Caller from 773. Thanks for calling Words Made People. Can you give us your first name and your city, please? Maybe they didn't realize the first one. Okay, so now we're about halfway done, I guess, with this for giving the layout, I should say. What's going on Saturday? I know we're going to begin with Fajr prayer, right, Buddy Mel? With the Fajr prayer?
Yes, sir. Fajr prayer and the halakha and the wellness, wholeness, health and wellness sessions. And then going into the full stretch of the workshops.
Yes, sir. Okay, so we're on Saturday now. But here, someone, let us know what's going on Saturday, please.
And so for those workshops on Saturday, we'll have topics that cover health. So we have one, Help Yourself to Ultimate Health. That'll be presented by Dr. Abdel Jalil Nuruddin. We'll have a workshop entitled Words Make People, Make Every Word Count, and we'll be featuring you, Imam Mikhail. as it relates to having that discussion. So, you know, feel free to go into, you know, however you want to as it relates to that workshop. I'm not sure if you wanted to give us a little taste of it today, but that will also be happening Saturday.
Yes. But just quickly, myself, Emmanuel Sewell from New York, and from Atlanta.
And I think Sister Aisha is connected to that too, right? And Imam Abdelaziz.
I'm sorry, Rasul, I didn't get the wrong name. And also Brother Bari Muhammad. And it's mainly going to be an open workshop of writing books and what do you need to do to write a book, the background, the process from having the concept of writing a book to having the actual book done in your hand. So that would be making every word count.
Nice. And then we have a workshop entitled Community Engagement and the Muslim Community, and that one will be presented by Brother Jimmy Small and Brother Fleming Alameen. They're both very much connected on the political scene, and so they're going to talk to us about the importance of being involved as it relates to the affairs of our community and how we're impacted and should be connected to the community around us. Saturday we'll also have some children's activities that will be going on simultaneously to these workshops. You know, the children will get a chance to do some activities, some arts and crafts projects. We're asking that the parents go and sort of pre-register the child. So when you go to Eventbrite and you see the activities there, it's going to, I'm not sure if it's a link or it's just a message to click on, go to Masjid al-Haq and do the registration, because you can do it from the Masjid al-Haq website where you just go in and register your child for either segment. There's a 9 to 12 segment for children's activities, as well as a 2 to 4 segment for children's activities. And so that'll be happening at the same time as some of these workshops. And it'll give, as much as possible, we want the parents to be able to stay with the children if they can, but it'll also be an opportunity to be able to go to a workshop, and if the children are comfortable, stay and do the activities while you participate in the workshops. And then, you know, there's so many workshops on Saturday. There's one that's going to focus on the new marketing strategies of the Muslim Journal. There'll be a panel discussion about establishing and sustaining thriving schools. That one will be led by the Claire Muhammad Schools Network. Sister Ka'an was on earlier. She'll be facilitating that discussion. There'll be a workshop by Industrial Bank, which is a Black-owned bank. There'll be a workshop that MAVA is putting on, entitled In Service to God and Country.
What does MAVA, you get the acronym MAVA,
M-A-V-A. Oh, yes, I did. Yeah, so the Muslim American Veterans Association, and that one will be facilitated by Brother Lyndon Bilal out of Washington, D.C.
Great.
And then also on Saturday, we have one of the signature events that's going to happen. That's the Family Fashion Show and Luncheon. That one is happening from 11:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. And so we'll be able to have lunch with each other and see the fashions from our community. And then there'll be an opportunity following the show to purchase some of those fashions, which is nice for those designers to be able to have an opportunity for people to purchase Then after that, we roll back into some more workshops for those who want to attend. There's one entitled Establishing a Model for Economic Empowerment and Community Development, and we'll have Ambassador Waleed Shamsuddin, his wife, Dr. Kiana Shamsuddin, Dr. Rashad Ali, and E. Omar Davis. That'll also be focusing on some economic opportunities both here and abroad, which is nice. You know, there's some business opportunities that will be available during this conference that perhaps we haven't seen on this level. And so it's just nice to have some more options to expand our thinking and to expand our opportunities. And then our young adults will have a panel discussion, which I think is great for them to be able to come into a space and talk about things that are important for them. Their discussion will be centered around young adult engagement, and it's entitled From College and Career to Community, and really sifting through what it takes to, you know, when you're in that phase of being a college student or once you go into your career, what's you back to community. So I'm excited for them to have the platform to do that.
Yes, ma'am. So once again, you know, you have something for everyone, male, female, young, toddlers almost, actually, toddlers up to senior citizens. This is very important. Let me try my caller one more time from Chicago, 773. And I'm going to pass on by. Call 773-414. You on Worth Me People? You have a question or comment? Okay. Well, I'm going to pass them by. Sometimes people press one on their phone and don't mean to. Okay. Now, there's the event with the students who are working with Dr. Mubashir El-Ukta and Dr. Bashir Ali. Are they supposed to be having a graduation service ceremony during the weekend?
Yes, and so that was absolutely where I was headed. On Saturday, there will be, for the first time, we'll be having a graduation during the Time to Be Grateful conference, and that will be on Saturday from 3 to 5. It's the graduation for those students who participated in the Islamic Leadership Training and Development Program. This is by invitation only, so they are giving out invites as it relates to the graduation. But even just to have that sort of event in the space is new to A Time to Be Grateful, and it's also inspiring to know and to see that these young adults have taken the time and sacrificed, you know, their schedules and whatever else they had going on in their lives to really learn more about Islam, the language of Imam Muhammad, the history of our community as African-American Muslims in this country. And so we'll be able to celebrate with them either, you know, because we got an invite or just to be in that atmosphere of celebration for them. But that will be happening on Saturday from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. So we're still on Saturday, or do we have Saturday completed?
We're still on Saturday. There's a few other workshops, one on marriage and family, another on products and product development, and then we end out Saturday with our signature event, the awards banquet, which will be from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m., and during that banquet, we'll be honoring some very worthy members of our community with various awards. Some signature awards that happened during the Time to Be Grateful, as well as some unique customized awards that have been developed for members of our community and those connected to our community who have been doing some great work. And so that will be the close to our Saturday.
Okay. Okay. All right. All right. Okay. We have with us Imam Mujahideen Muhammad, Sister Marsha Nevins. I guess Imam Bilal, he had another engagement. He
yeah, he was on a job assignment. Yep. So he had to step off, but he was able to come on earlier. Yes, sir.
Okay, the listeners, please press on your phone. This is the time to find out about the time to be grateful. This is really, you can really take ownership in the time to be grateful. Even if you did that, do the hard work, the groundwork, the plan, when you go, enjoy yourself, you can really take ownership in there. So this is the time to press one on your phone to ask questions. We have three of the key organizers for this 19th annual A Time to Be Grateful. And if you have questions or comments, please do. And as Imam Mujahideen said earlier, if you want to share some thoughts about your past experiences of attending the Muslim Jones A Time to Be Grateful weekend, you can also press 1 on your phone as well. Okay. So now we're going into, is it time to go into Sunday yet?
Yes, sir. Going in, and I just want to say this real quick. You know, you got to pace yourself in anything that you do. This event is more than just a award show as it initially started, honoring those in our community. It has turned into a conference premier event all around. And one thing I like to just come to my mind is that in convening, when we come together as a community, Imam Muhammad shared with us that these convenings or these conventions or conferences, they're really prototypes for our community life. And so as we see these different events and different activities and different presentations, it's really just a glimpse of what we should be having in our societies, in our communities, wherever we are. And so get what you can and take it back to your community, because that is what may be needed for your environment to continue to grow. So take it with that spirit and come with that energy, and you'll be successful, inshallah. So coming in this Sunday, again, Salatul Fajr, then the Halakha, then the wholeness, health and wellness sessions. And then we'll be going into the business networking breakfast. The business networking breakfast is chaired by Imam Bilal Hassan. He's going to be moderating and has a co-moderator, Sister Yasmin Ben Hanif. And they're going to not just have lectures and presentations, but they're going to also have some networking sessions, some networking time, and some interactive activities for those who will be there for that breakfast. So, again, we invite people, business people, people who want to go into business, who want to network, bring your cards. And now they have digital cards. So if you got your phone, you can have a link where you can have all that on your device. And so those sessions will be from 8 to 12 on that Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll
be
closing out, to my knowledge, we'll be closing out the event, the weekend, with the Interfaith Unity or Unity Interfaith Ta'aleem. And that is an excellent layout. Imam Bilal is drafting that. We have three sets of audiences that's going to be presenting or areas of interest. We have the unity, which is Imam Abdul Karim Muhammad was very adamant about, before we can go out to connect with others, we have to connect and strengthen our bonds internally. And so we're going to have several organizations in our community and imams and community leaders on that first the first trimester. They're going to be presenting congratulatories as well as some of the things that they're working on. And then Imam Bilal is working on a special exchange in between the second half or the second third, and then the last third will be the interfaith. We have several faith councils that will be coming out that are local as well as those who will be coming around the country. We have our friends, the Focalari and the Next Now team. We're going to be facilitating an exchange on that event as well. And then we'll open it up for the community to join in the discussion. So that's from 12. I think it's 12:30. We'll make Talat. We'll do Talat, and then we'll go right into that up until about 3, inshallah, on Sunday.
Okay.
And again, throughout the whole weekend, the marketplace will be open, except for Talat for Jumma. It will be closed temporarily. But throughout the whole weekend, the vendors have a designated area where you'll be able to shop and connect throughout the whole weekend, the vendors' marketplace.
Good. Now, I have a question. Before, I guess due to logistics, in some cities, vending was in more than one location, which for some it was a challenge because some didn't know that they were vending in more than one location. How is vending going to be done this time? Will it all be in one spot for easy access?
Yes. So there will be a room.
Right.
There's actually it's two ballrooms opened up to just this one large ballroom that will have and house the 50 vendors that are registered to be at A Time to Be Grateful. So there'll be this one central location that you can go to connect with the vendors. And it is convenient. It's nice to be able to have that one space to go to and know that that's where you go to the entire weekend to connect with a vendor. So that will be the case this time around. One thing that will be on Sunday only is that those designers who were in the fashion show, there's going to be an opportunity on Sunday to purchase their wares as well, and that will not be in the vendor space. There's going to be a separate room for that. But other than that, from Thursday up until Sunday, the vendor marketplace will remain in the same location, and that's the Derby Ballroom where you can connect with the 50 vendors.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, just a little side note, a little personal pet peeve, if you will. When we're buying products from vendors and you're buying liquids, ask the vendor, can they send it to you? Because you get to the airport, all that money you spent is going to be going to the trash can because you can't put on plane.
That's a good point.
Yes. So, okay, we got a call here from 626. Thanks for calling Word Fame People. 626, can you give us your first name and your city, please?
This is Mahasan. I just want to thank you all. It's an exciting program. I wish I could be there. And I just wanted to ask if you can close with a prayer for the Palestinians when you're done. Someone just sent me a message that they're herding all the Palestinians over into a small corner where there'll be no food, no water, no nothing. You know, and so we don't know what the plan is, but Allah knows best, you know. Inshallah. Thank you.
This is from the East Coast or West Coast?
West Coast.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, yeah, we can do that. And because we spent the first, 10, 12 minutes of this program today talking about that situation. So we can close out with it as well.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thank you. I really enjoyed all the speakers and all the information. I wish I could be there. It sounds marvelous. I tell you, it's really grown. I only attended one, and that was the one here in California. And it was one of the nicest events I've attended in a long time. So I could imagine what it's going to be like with all the different input I've heard this morning. It's just unbelievable, you know?
Yes, ma'am.
May Allah bless you all for all the good you do.
We are going to launch the live stream option. That will be coming out in the next week or so as well for those who are not able to make it for whatever reason. Some of the signature highlight events will be available, all access for that. So look out for that. Keep abreast to the website, MasjidAlHaq.com. That's MasjidAlHaq.com.
Oh, great. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Okay, Sister Mahasan, thank you for your comments today.
Thank you.
Okay, dear people, Chris, you're welcome. Press on. young people in our community, not, of course, many with this are trying to be grateful, but as a whole, getting involved, what is it that inspires you all as, and I know young as relatives, as being old as relatives, but you all have taken things by the ring, general, I'm looking at community life. What words of encouragement would you offer to those who are younger, if leadership roles, et cetera?
Yeah, so for me, I think I've always sort of had that community mind and to want to be involved in things. And as I got older, and particularly, you know, started to have children, it was important to lay a foundation that would extend beyond myself. But just in general, you know, I think if when you're a part of a community or you're a part of an organization or, you know, an industry or whatever it is, I think of us as Muslims as being like the example or, you know, the torchbearer or the person or people who sort of lead the charge. And I like to think of us as influencers. And so many times we've been in a situation where we allow that environment to influence us, and then we got to, you know, kind of undo some of that stuff. But the involvement is really about being the influencer and to make your mark as it relates to the activity, the conference, the, you know, the convention, whatever it is, to have your voice heard. So many times people sort of repeat this rhetoric about, you know, where are the young people? The young people aren't involved. There aren't as many young people. And I get that, and I know that it's connected to comparing where it is now as opposed to what it used to be. Many of our pioneers came in as very young people. And when we make that comparison, you know, it kind of just feels like, well, where are they and what is the activity? So for the young adults that are present in our community, my encouragement would be to rather than taking the stance of there's not a place for me, what activity is out there for me, the people who are responsible and are in charge are not sort of giving me the platform or the space to be Muslim in my unique way in this environment with the issues that are connected to me at this time in my life. I would say rather than taking that stance, be the change maker. Be the person who develops those things, initiates those things, creates those things, because there's space for it. Our community is transitioning as it relates to those pioneers. Many of the pioneers are many people would describe our community as an aging community, right? And so there is space, there is room, there is need for those who are coming behind those pioneers to do the work and to be involved and to and to be connected in a way that we haven't seen for some time. And I feel like after COVID, you know, a lot of what we hadn't seen for so long really just started to burst. I see so many activities online, you know, happening around the country, and it's exciting. And I think that's what gets young people involved as well, is that they see it happening. Sometimes when you don't see it happening, it feels a little hopeless. And so to see it happening, I think, is also an encouragement for our young people to get involved. And then I would say for the pioneers to pull those young people in, right? They're not always just going to come and say, hey, I want to do this. sometimes you have to say to them, I see the value in you being a part of this. I see that you're talented to this degree, and I want you to be a part of this. And some people need that, particularly younger people.
Right. Well, I'm glad you all said the model, said in the example, because if they see someone near to their age being productive, then they can be an inspiration for them. Brother Imam Mutahar, do you have any comments on that? The young people, getting them inspired.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. Yeah, we build this. I mean, like, we have more exchange offline than y'all hear about what we have online. But a lot of this stuff we kind of unpack and coming up with formulas and stuff, because as Marsha just ended up about invitation, it's one thing for someone to have an interest. It's another thing for someone to have agency. And when you invite someone and you encourage someone and you connect them to the work, it gives them a sense of agency, a sense of responsibility. And our tradition, right, no child of Adam enjoys a meal better than the one that they earn. And so all these principles that we have in our faith, they're in us. And whether we know them by the Arabic or by the tradition, they're in our souls. And so one thing that keeps me excited is that I was fortunate to be connected. One thing, Imam, my father always told me, he would say, Imam Muhammad is your leader. And so you have to study him and know what he says and what he's doing, so forth and so on. So connecting the people to the power, to the source, whether it's the Quran, whether it's the life example of the Prophet, or whether it's the language and leadership of Imam Muhammad, there's no way you could not get benefit if you're connected to what gives the energy. That's what keeps me excited. And Imam Muhammad, last thing he said, one thing that comes to mind, he said that in order for us, the next generation, to continue the work, they have to make proper connections, so the correct connections. And so that's what keeps me going, and I try to instill that in my children and the children that I come across. When you look around the environment, everything that's in the environment, it has to come from generation. Nothing was instantaneous. And so with our community, we're in line to continue what is going to be going forward. And so, inshallah, that should be enough to get somebody excited.
Yes, great. I think that's Sister Mahalsi, she raised her hand again. Sister Mahalsi, do you have something to add? You want to add to the conversation?
Yes. The young lady or the sister that just spoke, she really touched on some of the things. Yes, Sister Marsha. Touched on things that was on my mind, too, about our young people. I know we had a meeting here in our masjid not long ago, and we invited all the young people, and they told us they felt that the masjid belongs to the old people, just to make it, you know, pointed. And what can we do to bring them back, you know, to the masjid, even to start there and let them have a say, have a game room or something? We have to do something, you know, to get our children back so we don't lose them all to the streets. The streets more inviting, you know. We have to be inviting. We have to consider their youth and their needs, too, you know, in a way that's Islamic, of course. But I really appreciate what Sister Marsha said. That was really beautiful. And thank you for listening to me.
No problem.
If I could share something real quick. There was a study, one of the groups that
sorry, but your voice is a little bit distant. Can you get near to the phone?
Oh, okay. Does that sound better?
I don't know if you can talk now.
How about now?
I think so.
Is that a little better? I'm still away.
Go ahead, please.
Can you hear me?
We'll work with it.
Oh, okay, no, I was just going to say that, and like what the sister just said about the young people, there was a study this group did in Philadelphia area where they had about 90 questions, and they surveyed about 300, 400 young people, and 60%, after they doing all the evaluations, 60% of the young people said that they feel as though their parents or the older generation don't care about them. And so sometimes we're not even aware of what our children are thinking about, how they perceive this experience called community life, what we're going through. And so what Sister Marsha highlighted and the sister was able to concur, it's very subtle, but it's very important that we are aware of what is on the minds of our young people.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Okay, you know, I know, just here locally, I know one thing that helps us in Indianapolis is that we keep a weekend school going. Whatever we do, we keep a weekend school. And we call it Flair Muhammad Weekend School. I think it goes a long way in giving people, giving the young people somewhere they want to come to. And they want to come, too. It's really exciting. And everyone, not necessarily their parents, don't necessarily follow Imam Muhammad, but they bring their children to a weekend school on a regular basis because they appreciate that activity. And then just yesterday, day before yesterday, Friday, the title of my cookbook was A Open Letter to Our Young People. That was because it was a Thanksgiving weekend. And I knew we would have more youth there because of them being out of school this past Friday. So I was trying to take advantage of those Christmas weekends and Thanksgiving weekends, spring break weekends where there's more children coming out because they're not going to the public schools, to try to build the theme around something that's going to be central to them and their age group. So we have to be intentional in reaching out to our young people. Well, we're at the top of the hour. If we need more time, we can use it, but I think we've covered quite a bit for the time to be grateful. We want to give an applause to Sister Aisha, a.k.a. Mustafa, for her leadership with the Mustafa Jones newspaper. Also to Imam Kareem in Newark, New Jersey, because Masjid al-Haq, they are the host of Masjid for this year's Time to Be Grateful. So we want to salute the Imam Kareem and also the Masjid there in New Jersey, and which we as mentioned earlier, and for those who may not know, Newark is going to become the home base for, well, has to become the home base for our Muslim Journal newspaper. And so we want to salute that and to applaud that. So in wrapping up, Brother Imam and Sister Marsha, any comments you want to say as we conclude our program today?
I would just say if you haven't gotten your tickets to A Time to Be Grateful, visit www.masjidalhaq.com and get a ticket. There's a price point for everyone. So, you know, if you just wanted to come and take part in the workshops, we didn't talk about the cost of the workshops, but the entire workshop series is $20. Not $20 each. You can engage the workshops, you know, on the time schedules that exist, the ones that fit into your schedule for $20. And then some of the other events are, you know, you can either do a package or you can do it a la carte with $50 and $60 price points, $35 price points. So mix and match it however you want. Just don't miss out on the opportunity to be there.
Well, let me make sure you say, is it $20 like a package?
Entire series.
Workshop? Oh.
For the entire workshop series.
So it's not $20 for each workshop. It's one fee
no.
to cover the other workshops. We can't
correct.
Beat that. Oh, let me tell my caller for a third time. The hand went down, came back up. For the third time, call is 773-414. You're all worth my people. Give us your first name and your city, please.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Bashir from Chicago.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to our guest and Brother Imam. When you first tried to put me on, I hadn't punched one. You know, these smartphones now, I guess they say, you know, most of the time you make a comment when the show was on, so it punched one for me. So when I was surprised when
okay.
you had my number.
I wonder what happened.
But well, I'd like to commend our guests and for the look like wonderful. Great planning they have did for this event. And I will be there and hopefully benefit and enjoy what has been planned. Now, I had a question or comment because I had the blessing and the opportunity back in the first resurrection to be the paper captain here in Chicago. So the paper is something that's dear to my heart. Excuse me. Yeah, I knew them 1,000 paper sellers. And just give some context, too, to be talking about youth. I was a youth when I came into the Nation of Islam. And I think this is something that just came across my mind. So during that period of time, you know, the activity that was happening and getting the word out, the civil rights movement, this was in 1968, so the civil rights movement was going, Dr. Martin Luther King, Smith, H. Rapp Brown, everybody, my brother Malcolm, they were all out in the street. And I think the sister mentioned about how the paper sellers had this particular spill that they had, for a better word. I had one too. In fact, it helped develop me become a salesperson. After I left the work with the Nation of Islam, I went into financial services and sales and was very good. And my training during that period of time helped me do that. But the history of the paper has a great history, not only in the paper sellers, but just in the development of that paper. And the people that work, the writers, the editorial, it's a great history that's there. But what I'd like to mention in the youth, things have changed now. Back then, as I mentioned, we were, you know, everybody was out in the street. Everybody was on the corner. Now it's technology. So you can't get out on the street. Nobody's buying papers. They're getting their information across the internet. So we need, as the old adage was back in the Nation of Islam, quick thinking, fast moving, straight down to modern times. And Imam Wahdi Muhammad, he also stressed to us that we have to be relevant. Islam has to be relevant to its times when he talked about a new thought. So I'd just like to put those things, you know, out there to us. Hopefully I'll be at that event. For the paper sellers. And, you know, I have a thing that it's in most of the history that they have me, and they took a film of me and another brother selling the Muhammad Speaks newspapers here in Chicago out on 79th Street. My little spiel at the time, the paper was 15 cents, was a nickel and a dime for your own cat. You know, so we all have a little monster. Yeah. All right. Thank you. That's what I'm late.
No. But before you go, if you can indulge this and help us, because she says 68, a young man. Now, when you, with your, 60 years plus of community life, when you hear those five words, a time to be grateful, you're being pushed by a different history or a longer history than someone like myself or someone who came in the 80s and 90s. They can hear that same phrase, a time to be grateful. And we are within our own rights. We're justified to respond to it accordingly to our age. But when someone like you and the other sisters and brothers, because she mentioned one time a very touching story, how the sister who saw their men going out selling Muhammad Speaks, but they didn't have enough bread or milk in the refrigerator, so they put in the Nation. What is the gravity for someone, and I know you cannot ask you to speak for everyone in your age group, but what is the gravity of that statement, a time to be grateful for your age group?
Yeah. Well, let me see if I can be short. I'm very, if I look back on my history over that period of time, I'm grateful for a lot of things. This community has developed me as a man, as a person, in so many respects, to be a good husband and father, to be a good community person, developed me in my career path, my health. I'm 81 years old and have very few medical problems. And I'll say How to Eat to Live helped me in that area. And Imam Ward D. Muhammad coming in and balancing us out and putting us in the right direction. It's so much to be grateful for, those who have went through that experience. And even this morning, I was saying, and Allah said, we're not grateful. There's so much in this community to be grateful for. And I love this community. I just love it. I love people I haven't even seen before. But I know they have been committed. I was reading a book on commitment the other day, and they said it's just not a promise, but it's something you have to be conscious and develop. So we have a great community commitment, but we have so much yet more to do. And that's beautiful. That's beautiful too. So yeah, grateful, very, very much grateful. We have so much to be grateful for. Which of the favors of your law, Lord, will you deny? And
there's so many.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Thank you. All right. Yes. It's so important that we hear from those who have walked the pathway and cut the pathway for us. You know, we walking on pavers, see, man, and they walked on dirt and rocks, but they had just as much faith walking on dirt.
Can I make
rocks.
This comment? There's one comment, too. I mean, these brothers out in Newark, I know in Chicago, it used to be cold. I mean, cold. And we would bang out in the street in zero degree weather. So many sacrifices. I mean, I pray Allah to bless them for that. I know he will, for the efforts that they're putting in. And let me say this, too, just one, for the sisters. And I say this quite often. Because they made sacrifices. You know, these brothers were buying papers. Some of them they weren't able to sell. They had papers in their closets, in their basement. But they had that commitment. But the sisters had to budget, you know, their money. And they made sacrifices to do that too. So just like Lady Khadija supported Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, she suffered during those periods of time. Our sisters suffered too. But they were soldiers too. They were soldiers in the call. I know.
Yes,
my wife told me, she said, no, you know, you got respect in this name, in this community. She said, but you wouldn't have that respect if it wasn't for me. And that was correct.
Mm.
And she was right.
That's right. That's right. That's so true. Because she had shared with us. And I know this is tied into the topic, dear people. I'm going to ask you, I know it's kind of emotional for you, but you shared with us one time referring to the paper and why are we so grateful. And just a little side note, we have an online library that the local college paid for us to document the Imam Muhammad's community in Indianapolis. And I had gotten a sheet from the Pioneer Sisters in Chicago from back in the 60s. And they were sacrificing their money, but they were giving like 17 cents, 12 cents, 35 cents. I mean, and for back in those days, that was some serious, for people who had no money, who didn't even have a phone in their house. I mean, that they were giving their last pennies to build this community. So we were talking about a time to be grateful. But you shared with us one time how the sisters in the community were, if the brothers, if they had a wife and they were selling the paper, because they believed in the cause. But the sisters were at home trying to take care of families. If you can share with us what your wife finally shared with you.
Yeah, this was after the ma'am came into office. I was a paper captain here in Chicago. And I would collect from the brothers when they were buying the papers, collecting money from them, you know, over the weekend.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Now, you were the captain. Paper captain under Elijah Muhammad, but your wife, she revealed to you after your man came in office, right?
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
So I had, you know, I would collect, you know, the monies from the brothers buying the papers, and I would come home on the weekend with a lot of money. Sundays, I would have to account for that money for my receipts. And sometimes my receipts would come up short. Money would come up short. So I didn't know why. I know I wasn't taking the money. I don't know what happened to it. Sometimes, you know, it wasn't that much, but it was sometimes it would all. But when the man came in the office, my wife told me, see, I used to take some of that money and give it to the poor sisters that would try to make it. And the brothers would buy that paper, and they were short. She said, I took that money and gave it to them. See, that's why your money came up short. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's so important. It's so important because, this paper is an institution. Like all institutions, she has struggling points. She has prosperous days. She had people who are workers. But the sisters also made a serious contribution. And we should be grateful to them as well. I'm not saying that we're not, but I'm just, I wanted to bring that out. Because someone like yourself, you know, we have history that we need to get out. So I don't know if Sister Marsha or anyone want to make a comment on what we get started, but we have a powerful history. Sister Marsha, you know, Imam Jasmine, any comments?
Yeah, these are the stories that give us the insight and the fortitude to keep pushing forward to do our share. As we come into our positions of responsibility,
alhamdulillah. Okay. Sister Marsha, if you want to, you don't have to. If you want to, have a comment?
No. So for me, it's every time I hear these sorts of stories, you know, it just puts me into the awareness that those of us who have come behind the pioneers are connected to some very extraordinary people. So I help Sister Fisher Muhammad with Study Al Islam doing the tech support for her. And earlier the conversation was about faith over fear. What was being discussed was that, you know, the journey that our pioneers took, that ingenuity that they had, that sacrificial spirit that they had, it's unmatched. It's unmatched. And every time I hear these stories, it just connects me to that awareness that the pioneers are special, and they did something extraordinary, and we're blessed to even know them.
Could I make this one last comment?
Yes, sir.
Because quite often, you know, there's a misconception that it was a punishment to sell the papers, and we were taking people's money. But most of the people, this is something that we realize the value of the message that was in Muhammad Speaks newspaper. Mm-hmm. And we loved our people, and we wanted them to get this message. And that's why we made that commitment, that sacrifice, to buy those papers and to get those papers into the hands of our people.
That's right. And that spirit is not totally gone, because we know that we have a strong connection to our African-American people, all people, but definitely to our African-American people. And I remember brothers telling me in Nashville, Tennessee, he's the man there now, Imam Youssef. He said that they believed that was the message to save our people. And they went out there, weather, police, getting cussed out, some getting shot at, because they believed that paper was just that valuable. Now, we got in Muslim Journal a very valuable paper currently. You got the Quran in there. A lot of people are not coming to the masjid yet, but they make a paper. There's Quran in there. First thing you turn the paper to the Quran. Next is the Hadith, reports from the Prophet. Super important. And go to the middle, you got Imam Muhammad's comments. And in that same spirit as before, and knowing that this is our institution, our paper, we should be doing much more for Muslim Journal, much, much more. This, I'm not trying to turn this into a little session to criticize anybody. But when we realize the beauty of the paper, of course, it connects us as a community. I find out what's going on in different cities, et cetera. But the first thing in there is the Quran. You put in the words of Allah in someone's hands. That's super important. And then the example of the prophet and the commentary of Imam Muhammad, along with all the other good features of our paper. And no one else has a paper like that for us. No one. Come out to Newark. If she can't come, be listening for what you can online. But buy a subscription. You can get an online subscription at MuslimJournal.net. You can do a hard copy. Those some of us are old school. Sister Marsha, Brother Imam Jackson, some of the old school, they want to hold their paper in their hand. They want to lick their thumb and turn their page. They don't want to do it electronic, you know, but still encourage them or do it for them. Go online and buy them a subscription. So alhamdulillah. We're going to wrap this up. Brother Mujahideen, Sister Marsha, any closing comments, please? Oh, did you do that already?
No, I think I gave mine already, so I'll yield to Imam Mujahideen.
Yes.
So that was a good one. so again, 19th annual Time to Be Grateful, Muslim Journal coming to North New Jersey, hosted by Master Al-Haq. We'll be live at the Meadowlands December 7th through the 10th. We have the press conference. We have the exhibits. We have the tour, historical cultural tour. We have the recognition dinner. We have the business meet and greet breakfast. We have the Jumu'ah prayer. We have the fashion show. We have the culture night. Fun, packed, jam weekend. Check it out on MasterAlHaq.com. Thank you, dear brother, for continuing the work that you do in light of the leadership of Muhammad with the language, words make people as our theme, enhancing culture and literacy for future generations. So again, we thank you for allowing us this time, and we hope to see you all soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you. My honor and my pleasure. And with that, we will just kick the announcement of other programs on station IWDM. We have something going on 7 days a week now. We have on Mondays, we have a program with Imam Pasha. It's called El Islam-Based Conversation. Every Monday at 6 p.m., call the same number. On Tuesdays, we have a program with Brother Rashid Salam out of St. Louis, titled The Science of Health and You. Yes, every Tuesday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, which, of course, corresponds to 4 p.m. Western Pacific Time. Then on Wednesdays, we have Wednesday with Brother Mark Shaheed, out of the STL, St. Louis, called the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And then again, he comes back again on Thursday, and he has the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab and MGM Roundtable. This, again, this is 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on Wednesdays and Thursdays. On Friday, we have Salat Jumma from our masjid at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Same number, 714-816-4673. Again, 714-816-4673. And then on Saturday, we have a recent production, about 2 months old now, maybe 3 months. It's a Muslim book reading club, and we are reading the book, Mother of a Nation, Sister Clara Evers Muhammad, a book written by, a very excellent book, I may add, written by Dr. R. Zakia Muhammad. And that's every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. on the West Coast. So then we come back to this production on Sunday, Voice Made People. So thank you. Just one more time before you go, Brother Mujahideen, Sister Marsha, give the website and the phone number, please, for anybody who may want to contact and get more information about the Muslim Journal's Time to Be Grateful.
To purchase your ticket, to visit www.masjidalhaq.com. There you'll find flyers for events. You'll be linked to the Eventbrite to purchase all access or a la carte tickets. And for the phone number, Imam Mujahideen.
Good one again. 862. What is the number? Okay, 862-250-5451. That's 862-250-5451.
And the number is to where? To whom?
We're calling that the ATTBG hotline or information line, excuse me.
Oh, okay.
So all things are kind of good for you to get directed. Yep.
Okay. We thank you all. Thank you for our listeners. May Allah's peace be with you. We say assalamu alaikum. And we do want to offer a prayer. Brother Mujahideen, you want to offer a prayer for the Palestinians? Our sister did ask for that.
Yeah, so
go ahead.
One of the prayers that we shared in our interfaith prayer last week was Surah 3, Ayat 1 through 8, and it highlighted the different messengers that came from the one God, that they all are of the same family, and that we ask God to give us the clear understanding and intention behind the faith that we have, and that we can reconcile our differences. And we know that in the Quran, throughout the Quran, Allah says that he does not give a burden on us greater than we can bear. And he also gives us the insight to know child passes away. They are awaiting the return of their parents. And still we don't want oppression. Allah says that oppression is worse than slaughter. And so if the slaughter has this much impact on us, imagine the oppression that's going on that hasn't been dealt with. So Allah, we ask Allah to give us the strength to not just sit by and wait and ask for things that we can also do ourselves. So we ask Allah to give us the guided strength, the added strength in these times of courage and perseverance to do our share. Inshallah, may Allah accept all of our worship, forgive us of any of our shortcomings and misdeeds, and guide us with special guidance. Ameen.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. That will conclude our program today. Assalamu alaikum.
People, every day, trying to do things their own way. But everything you see, touch, smell, those are things that tell you words. To think twice before you step on your advice. Make sure your words hold true, cause people hold you to your words. They make people and people. They make the world go round. Words make people. Check out the words that make your world. If your words are jive, then jive you are. Cause those type of words, they don't go far. Think and start working back from ideas deep in your mind. It's words that make people and people that make the world go round. Words make people. Check out the words that make your mind. Words to make people and people.
IWD for setting me free with words.
Washington Journal starts live at 7 Eastern here on C-SPAN. The spiritual leader of the American Society of Muslims announced his resignation Sunday after more than three decades. Imam W.D. Muhammad talks about Islamic life in America at the Society's annual convention in Chicago. This is 40 Minutes.
Thank you. We praise the Lord, creator of the heavens and the earth. We praise him. We worship him only. We obey him, and we obey his messenger, the last prophet, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is the traditional salute to him, saying the prayers and the peace be upon him. And what follows of that traditional salute, dear Muslims, dear believers, brothers and sisters, again, peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. The praise and the thanks is to God, the Lord, keeper of all the worlds. Let me quickly try to take some tension out of the air. We who believe in this religion, we believe in God, and we believe in Muhammad the Prophet, the model of the human being in his perfection as the servant of God. We believers, we know our life. We know our life. And we know what is not our life. And we know our religion. And we know what is not our religion. And we keep our life. And we keep our religion. Other things can come and go, but we keep our life, that is our religion, we keep our religion. So I'm getting ready to be more at work, to do more, to be more productive, and to contribute to the good life of the believers that I have a common history with, and also to the good life of believers that I don't have that common history with. I don't know about you, but when I told the imams of my resignation yesterday, a big burden went off my back. Yes, so I hope that gave you a little relief. Praise be to Allah. How Muslims are to plan our life. We're to plan our life knowing firstly that Islam is our life. And without Islam, we don't have any life. And we are to contribute to the excellence of America, because this is where we live, This is where we're going to stay. This is our country. And we have made great progress in this country after being put down lower than the animals of this land. The vision of our founding fathers, some of them were influenced. After they read the Quran, they were influenced in a good way to become even better visionaries. After they read the Quran, after they got familiar with the Quran and our prophet Muhammad, his history of how he accomplished so much in about 10 or 11 years, and how he worked for about 20 or 21 years and accomplished so much not only for Muslims, but for the whole of mankind, as God says, مَا أَرْسَلْنَاهُ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً مَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. That God says he was not sent to be any but a mercy to all the worlds. Then if we follow him, shouldn't we want to see mercy to everybody? Shouldn't we want to see everybody having mercy of God, the mercy of God? Yes, we should. So the vision of our founding fathers is not so far from us. One of the presidents of these United States, it is documented that he read the Quran himself. He read the Quran and he had the courage or the goodness to put it in writing that he read the Quran. And I have met presidents in my time, very recently, who have expressed reverence and deep respect and reverence for our holy book, the Quran, and for the tradition, the life of Muhammad the Prophet. We don't live in a world of ignorant people. Our leaders are great people in this country. Our presidents and our leaders of our society are great people, and they do respect great things. We don't always know that, but they do. I'm a witness that they do respect great things, and they respect Islam, and they respect our holy book. They respect the last prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. This country welcomes us to diversity. All the other groups that have come before us, they came here because they were welcome. The idea of freedom for this society welcomes all people if they want to start their life over again, if they want a chance to live their life free of being persecuted, then America says, here is a place for you. Now, we know our history. We know how we ourselves were persecuted. And we know religion has been persecuted, too. In America, religion has been persecuted. But that was not something that was called for by the founding fathers. The founding fathers planned the future of this society so that it would become a welcome place for all people having good intentions and wanting to establish their life after being denied their freedom, that freedom in their own lands or in their own country. So we have to ourselves then appreciate this diversity and be supporters of this diversity. In Islam, God says to us, La ikraha fid din, that is, let there be no forcing people in the religion, no compulsory, no forcing people in religion. Don't force people in religion. Says the way is clear. Whoever wants the way, take it. Whoever is not wanting the way, then let him be free to reject it. This is Islam. Not imposing our way on other people. Then we shouldn't try to promote our interests and put down other people, or try to have some plan to defeat their interests or to kill their life that they have chosen to have in this land of opportunity. We should respect all people who come here who want to have their life, We are latecomers, so we should study the history of this diversity, the history of the people that came here to have their life free and be not so that they won't have to be afraid of rulers, of tyrants who would take their freedom from them. So we, if we are going to enjoy, Muslims, if we are going to enjoy the same freedom here, then the first thing we should do is have at least our imams, our teachers, our leaders, knowing the history of this diversity, so that we will appreciate it and support others in having the same freedom that we want for ourselves. I repeat, our religion, Islam, is our life. While planning our life, we are to keep our plan in line with the Quran and with the tradition of the tradition of the life of our Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, prayers and peace be upon him. In order to be successful as a Muslim society or a Muslim community, planning our life here in America, we must know the Quran better. We must know the life of Muhammad better, because we will be forming something un-Islamic if we don't form it in accordance with the teachings of the Quran and the life of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are in Chicago. I know a lot of you have heard things about old Chicago like you've heard things about the old West. You're in one of the best cities we have in these United States. In fact, I think it is the greatest. It may have some small towns with about 70 people in it, or maybe 700, and that's better as an environment. But you're still going to have to leave that small town and go to a bigger town. So come to Chicago anytime you like. You got an invitation from Imam Radifuddin Muhammad, W. Dean Muhammad. We must understand also that our life is to be established in community, and it is to be established as community life. Individuals' lives depend upon community life. I remember studying the writings on how people, human beings that is, individuals, must have the freedom and opportunity to interact with other human beings, grow up in a human environment in order to become human. Isn't that something? If you don't have that, then if you are left without a human environment in the wilderness, they documented this. They found a boy. They called the boy. The boy was like an animal. When they found the boy was like an animal, thinking itself one of the animals, because that boy had not the opportunity to live and interact with other human beings. So Allah didn't create us to be alone. Allah created us to be in community life. And if you want to progress economically or business, financially, business-wise or financially, you need each other. You need each other. You need community. So God gave us the concept that will satisfy all of our needs as individuals on this planet. That concept is community life. And God says of us, you are the best community, of the best communities evolved for the good of all people. Khayra ummatan ukhrijat linnas. The best of communities evolved for the good of all people. We must also understand that our community, because we are a minority in America, we are not the whole society. We are small part of this society. Our community exists in the environment of the bigger community that surrounds all of us, that is, or engulfs all of us, that is the community of the American people, mostly Christians. Others are increasing in number here that belong to other religions or other persuasions, other spiritual persuasions, but the majority are Christians. So we are most likely going to have Christians as our neighbors. I have a Christian. I don't know if he approved me giving his name. He's Mr. Thomas. He's Mr. Thomas. He has two names from the Bible. He's Mr. Isaiah Thomas. I've lived as his neighbor now for several years, and I trust him with my life just like I trust my life with the best of you. And he's a good Christian, a good church-going Christian. So we are to recognize our neighbors and follow Muhammad's advice to us, be aware of our neighbor, and be always ready to assist your neighbor when your neighbor is in need. This is the teachings of Prophet, by me living that. Thank you. Thank you. By me living that with my Christian neighbors, I have the best Christian neighbors. I have the best. They only want to know if you're good and if you mean them well, you know? If you're going to be good by them, if you care about them. If you let them know that, then you'll see love come out of them that you don't see come out of a lot of Muslims. Now, I'm a good doctor. I can heal some of you Muslims if you let me. And we are also in the global community. We are part of the whole community of mankind, the international community of people. We are in that context too. So we must also be aware of that and draw from our religious teachings, draw from the Quran, and draw from the life and teachings of Muhammad the Prophet, so that we will be successful in embracing mankind, citizens of the United States of America, near and far, and winning the friendship of the good, healthy-minded people, so that we will have more freedom in this land to prosper. Freedom is offered to everybody that comes here, and you're free. But you have to plan your freedom. If you don't plan your freedom, freedom will destroy you. As so many out there in the streets that are destroyed by the freedom, as they perceive freedom that they perceive is destroying them. We don't want freedom to destroy us. We want freedom to give us more opportunity to live our life of health and productivity. We thank God. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Again, we must be also appreciative of people who open their doors to us. Now, we know times have changed, so it's no big thing that we're having this meeting here, our annual public address here at the UIC Pavilion. This is no big thing. But in a way, it is a big thing, too. When you look at the fear that's in the air because of the things that's going on in this world and how Muslims are characterized by some of the things that Muslims are doing, you must also agree with me then that it is a big thing that we are having this meeting in this pavilion. Now, we Muslims are to see that our community life is not without good leaders. People complain, oh, this place is bad, and or this masjid ain't like it should be. This imam, he should do this. Complain to everybody but the right person. Complain to him. Hold your leaders responsible. This is Islam. Allah has taught us with the Quran and Muhammad that when judgment day comes, every people will be gathered together with their imams, with their leaders. You're going to be gathered before the judgment, and your leader is going to be with you so that they will be a witness against you or for you, and you will be a witness against them or for them. And the prophet said, peace be upon him, he said, religion is sincerity. And they asked to further explain. And he said, the sincerity of a leader toward his following, and sincerity of a following toward the leader. So to be sincere with leaders, your leaders, you have to be truthful with them. You have to not talk behind their back what you can't say to them before their faces. And for them to be sincere by you and with you, they have to not put their government jobs before your interests. So you are free as Muslims and you're free as Americans to choose the life you want. So you need to choose leaders who love believers and whose life that they're living, whose behavior that we're looking at, tell us they love believers. You need to choose leaders, imams, who love obedience to God and who love respect for God and love respect for the God-given dignity or the God-given, quote, in Quran, honor, end quote, the God-given honor that every human person should be respected for having, whether that human person respects that honor that God has given them or not. We should not be the one to disrespect the honor that God has created for them. We should call them back to the honor if they are ignorant of it. Call them back to the honor that God created them for. But don't let us disrespect that honor. Respect everybody. And that ain't the first time you heard that. My father told you to do that. Education. Muslims must understand that education enables man to make progress in big, big measures. Without it, you make progress in little, small measures. Look at the societies before modern history. Look at the societies that didn't have education, that were not devoted to science, or not devoted to industry, not devoted to knowledge. Look at them in history, and you'll see how small their contribution is to mankind. Then look at those who have the appreciation for science, appreciation for industry, appreciation for education, and look at the big world that they have created for mankind. So you must support education. You must have a respect for education, and you must support it. Even if you're poor, support it with your mouth, with your lips. Give support with your mouth, with your lips, for education, even if you're poor and ignorant. Isn't that how our parents from slavery and our parents from the South, when the North was open to them and they had to leave the South to make progress, isn't that what they told their children? And then they pressed upon their children, now you might do very well up North, but get an education. You owe it to me, son, and you owe it to your grandfather who's gone, or you owe it to your grandmother who's dead in her grave, to get yourself, you're free and we were not, get yourself a good education. And with that encouragement, the early history of our people after freedom from physical bondage, from slavery on the plantation, is a history of the rise of intellects, the rise of brilliant men and brilliant women who were our leaders and who made great progress for us in that time immediately after slavery up until the Civil Rights Movement. Up until the Civil Rights Movement. Then the movement changed from one of an academic movement, an academic supported movement. It changed from that to a political movement, a movement for civil rights. We have to keep history in our view. You know, the teachers under the honorable Elijah Muhammad, they used to say, history is best to reward all research. The honorable Elijah Muhammad's ministers and the honorable Elijah Muhammad were speaking mostly to a congregation, nationally and locally, a congregation that was almost 100% illiterate. Yes, we weren't intellectuals. We were trying to learn how to read. And we had programs for adults and children under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's leadership to teach adults and children how to read. In fact, you couldn't even become a member until you wrote correctly a letter requesting to be a member. Is that not so? Yes. That was to emphasize and make you know that it's very important that you become literate. That man wanted us to succeed. I'm speaking of the teacher of my father, the one that he called God in the person, in the flesh. That man wanted us to succeed. He didn't want us to fail. And he knew that to succeed, you must appreciate knowledge. You must want to become literate. So let's not forget that, and let us go back to putting importance on things like it's supposed to be put on things, and putting importance on things that are more important than others, put more important on those things and less important on those things that are lesser in importance. So your leaders must be encouraged to support private schools. The more we live on this planet, in these times, things have changed. Trends are different. The more we support private schools, the more we prepare our community, not just ourselves and our children, the more we prepare our community to prosper in the future. More and more we're going to see government burden financially to finance our public schools. And we're going to see society growing in numbers and growing in problems, just like it is now. It's not going to change. It's going to continue to grow in numbers and grow in problems. The problems of living in these big cities is going to get greater and greater. It's going to take more and more tax money, government funding, to keep civilization, to keep some sign or some sanctuary of civilization. So we have to be able to look into the future. Our leaders, you're reading, you're literate. Look into the future. See what the future has in store for us, and you'll see that if you want to be successful, you have to put more important on education. You're now being challenged by newcomers who come here and they score higher on the test than average Americans score. So the American public of yesterday is challenged by newcomers today to even appreciate knowledge more and devote yourself more to academic achievement. If you don't, you're going to find yourself way behind them. And maybe that's God's plan, I don't know, but I know I'm not going to believe it until I can't do anything about it. I'm going to try to do something about it. And the way we do something about it is prepare for it now. Support our private schools. We need private schools. These public schools can't teach us Islamic life. Even if they hire a Christian or a Jew, or even a Muslim to work in the public school and teach us Muslim life, Islamic life, you'll be better off having your own Muslim school doing it, because that situation will not give you what your own situation will give you. I was told by an FBI who was questioning me during troubled times for the Nation of Islam, and I had been excommunicated, I had been put out. So he was questioning me, and he was asking me questions about my father. He took over the conversation and started telling me things about my father. Well, I know they better information getters than I am, you know, so he didn't shock me at all. So he said, your father didn't just give money to Muslims. See, your father gave money to needy Christians also. And I hesitated and I thought a little bit. And a couple of scenes came back to my mind, and I saw my father in the dining room at the table, and I recall him saying that he had sent some money to some Christians who needed some help. So I told him, I said, yes, I said, I'm aware of that. After I hesitated for a couple of minutes, I said, yes, I'm aware of that. Maybe it was just 15 seconds. It seemed like it was a long time, though. I hesitated. Probably 15 seconds. So I hesitated, and I told him, I said, yes, I am aware of that. Yes. All right. When we plan our life, and especially our schools, we should plan these schools so that we help Muslim children not only attending our Muslim schools, but Muslim children who are in public schools. We should have a program also for Muslim children who are in public schools so that we assist them with their courses, with their subjects that they're having difficulty with. So we need to give them tutorial help to help them make better grades in the public school. We can do that. That won't cost us a whole lot. So while we are not able to provide enough schools or enough quality schools to take care of all of the children of our parents, let us assist those parents with their children who are attending public school by offering a program for them too, where they can get Islamic education on the weekend and where they can get assistance, tutorial help during the week and on the weekend. Community life is the full life, complete life. Community life is the full life, it's the complete life. Community life is where you can have full expression for your life, your whole life, where you express your spiritual life, and that's number one. You go and join your brothers and sisters on Fridays at Jumu'ah prayer, and you go and join them at any time that you can, that's possible for you. You join them in the five daily prayers as a group, and you pray with your brothers and sisters. This is the spiritual life, yes. And you work to improve your financial situation so that you can help that spiritual life. Don't you know, if spiritual life didn't need help, God wouldn't have put it in a body. God put it in a flesh and blood body. My spiritual life can't communicate to you except through this instrument, my flesh body. It needs it. Take away this flesh body, I can't reach you with any communication. Some people believe they can, but that's spooky. Yes. So value this physical body and know that the physical body that you live in is a sign from God to you that as you need a house for your own soul, your community life needs physical structures for you to express your life in and express your life upon and by. Yes. You need stores. You need businesses for business life. You need cultural centers for cultural expression, for weddings, for child celebration, for new birth celebrations, etc. For plays that will instruct the people to have the good life. You need this. So no wonder they call us spooks. We don't have a body out here in the world. While mentioning culture, I want to mention to you something that really made me feel sad. And that was, I thought when I went to speak at the Apollo Theater in Harlem, New York, that I was still speaking, I would be speaking, pardon me, in a facility that was owned by Percy Sutton family, his business partners and his family. Percy Sutton is African-American, of prominence, political figure, a great political figure, after Adam Clayton Power, and well-respected person, and still is deserving of that respect. But somehow the management of that theater didn't go well for him, and they lost the Apollo Theater. And then when we rented it, they told me that we were renting it from a Jew. Now, that's not to say that that's bad. You know, maybe it's better that we were renting it from a Jew. Sometimes it's better that a Jew is doing business with you. I've had some good Jews to open up opportunities for me. Yes, I have. When I didn't have a job, I had a Jew to befriend me. So this old idea that all Jews are like those that used to be in Jewtown, you know, cheating us and robbing us, telling you to tell you, how you like that suit? I remember this. Say, look in the mirror, look in the mirror. And he got a hand full of the suit, holding it like this, so it looks real neat and tight in the front. But you don't know that. All you just feel it, oh yeah. You get home, man, you want to go back there and kill that Jew. So we have a lot of bad experiences with Jews, but that was a certain group of Jews who were hungry in hell, you know. They were the poor Jews of Jewtown, a marketplace called Jewtown. But you could get some good hot dogs there. Yeah, I'm telling you, some good hot dogs. Chicago-style kosher hot dogs, man, they're all right. My son say, Daddy, don't say hot dog. He said, I don't like that expression. I say, what should I say, son? He say, say Franks. We're hearing a lot of talk about the One World Order. Now, we know people will look at the One World Order differently. I guess the president and our State Department, when they think about the One World Order, I'm sure they're thinking about how the business life of the planet Earth is becoming one system now, just one life system. It's no more like it used to be, each country having its separate economy and working separately and not interacting or really knowing its dependence on the other economies. But now that's gone, that time is gone. So we do have one world economic order. And I'm sure that we would like to improve the political order, and we'd like to see the political units, or that is the nations, the separate nations of our planet, coming together to cooperate with each other for the good life, for peace and the good life of all of us, of all nations. But I don't know if that's what they have in mind for the political order. I don't know. But I do believe it's that. I know one thing. I served as a member of a special committee serving the president during the time of the Democrats in the White House, President Clinton. And I was working directly with the State Department at that time. And I was given that opportunity by the going out Secretary of State, and he saw that I was in before the next Secretary of State came in. But our work didn't really start until the next Secretary had been established in that position. And I do have experience that tells me that the United States government, under the President of these United States, is very much interested in seeing peace and justice for all people, for all nations in the world. Now, that is interfered with by private interests. Private interests makes it very difficult for any government to achieve all it wants. But again, we must understand our responsibility to not only contribute to our own government or to our own community government, and don't think you don't have a government. A Muslim community must have its own government. Its government is seen in its organization and in its leaders. That's your government. Your government, the religious government, is seen in its organization and in its leaders. If the organization is good and the leaders are good, you have good government. And our government lives under the protection, have the protection, if we live with respect for others. Our government, our religious government, has the protection of the government of these United States. And we should be obligating ourselves as much as other Americans obligate themselves to contribute to this government to make it better. If we are not pleased with it, let us be as other free Americans who are self-assertive, aggressive, and who appreciate their freedom and know that they have the right to influence the shape and the future or the course of their government. Let us be as energetic, as enthusiastic, and as responsible as they are. Let us join them in working to make our government better, have our government better for all of us. I was reading in the Quran, I'm a student of the Bible too, I'm a very good student of the Bible. Some of you preachers will be surprised what I can share with you if you meet me in private. God has blessed me with understanding of the scripture, and I thank God for it, and I would like to share with good people what God has blessed me with. Yes, so I read in the Bible about Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, and I read in the Quran about Jesus Christ, and I read how his disciples said Jesus was calling for assistance, for people to help him. And his disciples replied to him, "We are your helpers to God. We are your helpers to God. We are your helpers under God. We are your helpers for God. We are your helpers to bring God's cause to God, to bring it where he wants it to go, to take it where he wants it to go." Now, I firmly believe that African-American people have a history that justified God's intervention. I believe African-American people have a history that justified God selecting the best of us to lead us into a model life that will be a model life to help strengthen the faith and trust that is in people to make this world a better life, a better world, and a better life for all. You are chosen. Thank you. Peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum.
It's Book TV's 5th anniversary. And this fall, we have your favorite authors live every weekend. Look for in-depth interviews.